Blog Talk Radio.
Let's Talk Truth is designed to shine a light on that part of us that's hidden deep within us, and it stunts our growth. Truth is only truth if it lines up with the Word of God. Otherwise, it's merely our appearing, our appearing, our appearing.
If you really wanna talk, then let's talk truth. Hey. Any situation that you face can be talked through. No problem too big, there's no problem too small at all. Trying to maintain to keep from smashing through a wall. Heavy load up on your shoulders, trying hard not to fall. Situation after situation, throwing curveballs. Got you worried about your job, a word about your kids, a word about the things people said or what they did. Your husband ain't doing right, or maybe it's your wife, cause they let the devil step in and creep up in your life. Hey, L-O-I-C-E, come and help us out, please, cause we all in desperate need and need to learn to plant our seed. We gotta grow as a...
Good evening, everyone. I just want to take this opportunity to just say I am so glad you tuned in to this show today. We're here today to talk about youthful decisions and old consequences. This is Lois Bullock, and I'm the host of Let's Talk Truth. And today we're just going to share stories, come up with solutions, because a lot of times our youthful decisions and the consequences we have to face really puts a halt to us maturing and growing to be what we're supposed to be in life. So with that said, I'm going to say, as I do at the top of every show, that I'm not here to preach to anyone, but as this show is called Let's Talk Truth, if you don't include God in everything, then you have not arrived at the truth. So God is the only one that has truth, and we have to remember that in order to arrive at the truth, God must be the center. And I want to ask a question at the top of the show. Is your head down because of some youthful decision that you've made in life, and this has caused some negative consequences as you got older? First of all, think about that as we're going through the show. And also, because of what the consequences we're going through and the youthful decisions that we have made, we feel like we're losers. In fact, some people will tend to call us losers. Because, and then we buy into it because we believe we've lost a part of us and that's still undeveloped. A lot of us feel that we have not tapped into the things in life that we had planned at a very young age. So tonight we're going to share these stories, and we're going to try to uncover some of the things that might be holding us back because of our youthful decisions. Now, I know that they have a saying now that's called a bucket list. And so we're going to go into those things, and we're here with our guests. We have Mr. Motivator here today. We have Louise, and we have Shannon, and Courtney is stopping by as well. So we're going to say we just thank all of you for coming in and sharing some useful insight into our youthful decisions and our old consequences. Let me, I mentioned a moment ago, bucket list. What have you gathered? What is a bucket list?
Things that you want to do before your time comes, that you want to accomplish in life. It could be something stupid or something random, something you always just wanted to do.
Mm-hmm. So this is what so do any of you guys have a bucket list? You do? Louise, you have a bucket list? Mr. Motivator, you have a bucket list?
Oh, it's back in grace because we have a bucket.
No.
I do have a bucket list.
Oh, sorry,
mm-hmm. Go ahead.
I have a bucket list.
Oh, you do have a bucket list. Would you care to share some of the things that's on your bucket list?
Yes. I want to take a pottery class. I want to audition for a commercial and a major television film. I want to take ballroom dancing. I want to learn how to rumba. I want to take a painting class. I want to... Well, I could go on and on for a lot of things.
Okay, so your bucket list is really a long list. Mm-hmm. Am I correct? Well, let me ask you this. How old do you think you should be or have to be before your bucket list, you need to just forget it because you haven't accomplished anything?
You should never forget until your eyes close and that cancer lid or cremated, however you want to go.
Mm-hmm. So you're still good at it.
Yeah, I think this guy I read about him. His name was John Goddard. He achieved 126 things, I believe, on his bucket list that he started when he was a young man.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, a lot of us didn't look at it when we were real young as having a bucket list. We always seemed like, you know, we had dreams. There are certain things we wanted to do. And certain things we didn't want to do, we didn't ever want to happen to us that we saw happen to other people.
Mm-hmm.
I feel that a lot of that, or having a bucket list and our accomplishments and the things we haven't accomplished, I think that has a lot to do with our day-to-day attitude and how we move forward in life. Okay, Louise?
Well, and in response to that, I think your bucket list is ongoing. You know, at different times in your life, you know, you may have different goals for each section of your life. So as you grow and get older, you know, those dreams may evolve into something else. So say like maybe in your teens, you may have goals like to get your license, say it's 16, whereas by the time you reach 30, your goal might be to, you know, set up, get into your career and get settled. And by the time you reach 50, you may be thinking more in terms of settling down and working toward, you know, living a comfortable life as you reach your golden year. So it's not such a fact of a destination. It's more or less like a journey.
Okay.
We're not going to ever really come.
Okay. Now, let me ask you a question. Is your bucket list and your dream two different things? What do you think?
Yes.
You mean like is it different from something you dream about?
I'm saying, you know, when you're a kid, your dream is to be something this. Mm-hmm. Is your bucket list and your dream different?
In some scenarios, but they mirror each other a lot. Mm-hmm. Dreams can be consist of things that you can't put forth an effort to achieve. Like, most people dream of winning the lotto.
Mm-hmm.
That's a random chance. You can't, there's no action that you can take that could possibly help you accomplish winning the lotto other than playing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you have no means to maneuver about and make that become a reality.
Mm-hmm.
That's just up for chance. But if I have a dream of becoming or being in a commercial or being a film star, I have the capability to try that. I can go to auditions. I can take a role here, do that, if I have to get. Now, let's be realistic. You have to be realistic in the capability that you have.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have the capability to do your dream or to do your bucket list, what's on your bucket list, it can actually become a reality.
Mm-hmm.
But it'd be different if I said I wanted to be an actress and I had absolutely no skill whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
That dream will never come to fruition, or that bucket list will never be accomplished, that item, because I really don't have the capability to do so. That's when you have to be realistic in the things that you want to do.
Okay. All right. Now, I say, for instance, have you ever looked at your bucket list, looked at your list of dreams, and have you ever felt that those opportunities had passed you by?
Yes. The older you get,
you feel like those. Mm-hmm. And do you think, and just like you said a minute ago, Shannon, you were talking about things that had, you said you should never stop trying to accomplish what you want to accomplish on your bucket list, because until you leave this earth, there's a possibility that you can do these things.
Mm-hmm.
So now let me ask you, if things that we've done mm-hmm. or decisions that we made at a young age,
mm-hmm.
did some of those decisions we make in our youthfulness without wisdom, without teaching, without training, do you think that has our consequences for accomplishing that bucket list has made it null and void?
Yes, I do.
Okay, in what respect?
The thing is, when you have a bucket list, it's because you created because of time wasted.
Mm-hmm.
When you're young, you're living in the now.
Mm-hmm.
You're not, the majority of young people do not set forth a plan for tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
It's like whatever's happening right now, that's where I am. Versus, you know, when you have a bucket list, you're seeing things that, you know, I always wanted to do this. And you start feeling your mortality. And you feel like, you know what? I mean, although people die every day, different age groups or whatever, mm-hmm. everyone plans on going old. So if you didn't plan on being old, you're going to be able to make a bucket list. But you're looking at, like I just had a birthday.
Mm-hmm.
Just turned 39.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm looking at the things in my life that woulda, shoulda, coulda, if that makes sense. Like, God, if I had just done this at that time, by now, mm-hmm. I would be here. Or, you know, it's difficult to step out on a limb when you feel like your time is limited.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you don't have, I'm not 20 anymore. Like, I'm not 15. I can't sit here and say, you know, oh, I got about 5 more years. No, the clock is ticking.
Mm-hmm.
You have to start moving. The older you get, the louder the clock gets.
Right.
So you want to make sure that you don't want to be 80 years old, having say you live that long, but you don't want to be an old woman or an old man saying, you know what, if I had tried this, I wonder what if.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want a life full of what ifs, and no one does.
Yes. Now, you're absolutely correct. Now, one thing stands out in my mind that happened to me when I was very, very, very young. There was a point that everybody wanted a job working for the post office.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, people lived to work for the post office. And because of that, everybody looked at the post office as being a place that you could retire and make good retirement money. You could retire and wouldn't have to work and you still have a decent income.
Yes.
That's how it looked. And I can remember I was like in college, going to one of the junior colleges here in the Dallas area, and I took the test for the post office because you had to take a test.
Yeah.
I passed the test,
mm-hmm.
and I was called to work at the post office. I was called to, but my hours was going to be from 4 in the evening
mm-hmm.
to 12 o'clock at night. What do you think happened? What do you think I did? Just
I turned it down.
Mm-hmm. Now, tell me why I turned it down. Because I was young.
Mm-hmm. And you didn't want to be working them time of night. You wanted to go out.
Thank you. And not that I went out that much anyway. But it was during that time,
mm-hmm.
it was always everybody went out to dinner in the evening. You went out clubbing at 11 o'clock at night. And
mm-hmm.
I just had nobody to talk, you know, talk sense into me and say, girl, what are you going to be missing from 4 to 12?
Mm-hmm.
Nothing. But I thought I was going to be missing everything. So I turned it down. How silly was I? I got a job working from 8 to 4:30, but it offered not near the benefits I would have gotten had I gone to work for the post office. So
mm-hmm.
that's one useful decision that I made that I believe had gave me some old consequences because it didn't allow me, man, I could have retired earlier
mm-hmm.
because I would have had enough years in with the post office. I could have gone out with the bank,
mm-hmm.
but I didn't, you know. So that was one thing that I truly regretted. A youthful decision that I made.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let me tell you what I believe youthful decisions are.
Mm-hmm.
Youthful decisions are decisions that you make without wisdom
mm-hmm.
and without the benefit of wisdom. Now, if we're wisdom doesn't come by age. It comes by experience.
Mm-hmm.
So where do we get experience from? From someone older and sounder than we are.
Mm-hmm.
But what's to keep us from receiving wisdom? Our inability to hear. We think we know everything if we're young.
Mm-hmm.
We think we know everything. So if we think we know everything,
mm-hmm.
then we're going to reach a point where we're not going to make good decisions because
mm-hmm.
we're going to be making them based on the little bit of wisdom that we have. So we're going to make mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
When will these mistakes come back to bite us?
So.
When we're older. It's when you're older do mistakes bite you right in the butt, and that's when they hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Am I right?
Oh, yes, because at the time you're going through it when you're younger. I'll use the term they use now. It is what it is. It don't matter.
Mm-hmm.
But when you get older, you see the severity of the situation as if, you know, reflecting back, like if I had done things differently,
mm-hmm.
my life wouldn't be right here where it is.
Mm-hmm. And I'm glad you said that. I hate to hear somebody say it is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
What it is not really what it is. You know, unless it's some semblance of truth to every situation, stop saying that.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is what it is because that's what you developed it to be. That's what you put it forth to be. You can only say that it is what it is because this is what I created it to be. This is what I made it to be.
Mm-hmm.
Do y'all understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But should you put something different out there, then that's what it'll be.
Mm-hmm.
So I hate to see young people say, girl, it is what it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That means you have settled for something.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You have settled for it without any rebuttal, without any restrictions, without lifting a finger. I'm just going to accept it for just what I see. So I hate that. I hate to hear people say that.
Mm-hmm.
And this is why, as you get older, you look at these negative consequences that have surrounded you, and you wonder to yourself, how did I get here?
Mm-hmm.
How did I get to this point where I'm hateful, I'm mean, I'm a liar, all these negative things that have caught hold of you, and you've become that because you failed to change some of the things that you, some of your thoughts change your direction because you just decided this is how I want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes, I think about it, and do y'all ever do like I do? Sometimes I get frightened inside.
Mm-hmm.
Thinking that, God, I'll never have another chance to correct it or do something different. I think like that all the time because I don't want to fail anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be successful from now on, from this point on. And it depends. Success means different things to different people.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to be successful how I feel I was put here to be successful. And sometimes I do get afraid inside.
Mm-hmm.
And I pray, God, don't let this be my end.
Because
mm-hmm. I don't want this to be my end. I do not want to go out like this.
Yeah.
And when you think like that, I believe that that will make you kind of stand up and do things differently.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe I'm the only one that thinks that way. But if you guys think that way, speak up.
Well, I feel the same way. I do. I know one business I made,
mm-hmm.
I would have maybe majored in a different, taking a different major in college.
Mm-hmm.
I probably might have had a better, I think I probably would have had a better lifestyle.
Okay.
The major I took up in school such that, everybody could easily get into it,
mm-hmm.
so I would have maybe went into something like maybe medical field or something. Mm-hmm. I'm probably still working right now, I guess.
Okay.
Working.
What is your major?
Business.
Business.
Office.
That's an awesome, awesome major.
Yep. So, competing against all those blonde-haired girls, and that's who they want in office.
Mm-hmm.
The
thing for that we have to do is, it's not too late to accomplish the things we want to accomplish. And I feel like this, just like you. The direction you were headed in, try another direction. But just work on, if that, you know, because obviously that's something you wanted to do. So just go a different direction. If I can't get downtown going down Interstate 20, I'm going to get on 45. You understand what I'm saying? But we're going to go in a different direction. So what do you think?
I agree with everything you're saying. I'm at that point in my life where I'm going through that now. Like, I'm looking back on some of the things that I didn't want, I have been honest with myself, I didn't want. Some of the things that I did that I said I wanted to do then,
mm-hmm.
I really didn't want to. It's just so many things. Like, you start to judge and look back, and you get to the point, like you said, where you're tired of losing out.
Mm-hmm.
You're tired of playing second fiddle. You're tired of always, you know, you feel like you're taking out of the good start of the race, and the race is going passing you by.
Mm-hmm.
And it comes to a point where you feel like, did you just curse the rest of your existence by things that you've done prior
mm-hmm.
to you gaining this or having this epiphany? Mm-hmm. Did you curse yourself from that? Or do you, at this point, have the opportunity to maybe not go directly in that direction you want to go,
mm-hmm.
but able to do something along those lines
exactly.
that will make you feel, you know, complete, whole. I don't think God wants us to, you know, I know everybody, well, honey, if it ain't in God's will, but in some kind of way, it may not be in the way you think, but it has to be in some way because
God
put it in you.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to be able to utilize it in whatever fashion he says so. You know, I had a talk with my mother, and I was saying some things that I wanted to do, and she informed me. She said, well, maybe, you know, because of your mind frame at the time, maybe that wasn't the best thing for you. Maybe God didn't allow those things to happen. Like, I wanted to go to college. Honestly, I really could have. I had 2 fully paid scholarships, a free ride for 5 years with an allowance every month included. A full ride. I could have went to any university within Texas and Louisiana. I could have went to any private university. That means Rice, Baylor, anything I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. I earned it. I graduated valedictorian in my class. I did not take advantage of it. At the time, I thought it was because of the situation that I was in. I wanted to be, you know, around my parents and stay there and do this. But really, it was probably for the best that I missed out on some experiences. Yes. But had I listened prior to that coming up, mm-hmm. I would have been in the mindset to where I could have handled it, and it would have come to fruition for me.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make
mm-hmm.
sense?
Yeah.
Like,
mm-hmm.
You know, at the time I was thinking life is so unfair and nothing ever works for me, and I still think that way now. I'm like, oh, you know, life just keeps handing me these weeds, and I plant roses. I don't know what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
But some of, you know, your grass gonna have weeds. It's up to you to treat them and get them out the yard, not
uh-huh.
being funny. Like, you know, we can all sit back and play the blame game and woulda, shoulda, coulda about our friends, relationships, or everything we go through in life, period.
Mm-hmm.
And when I say relationships, I don't just mean like an intimate relationship.
Mm-hmm.
I mean like with your parents, cousins, whomever. You know, you all, everybody, oh, they did me like this and people do me dirty. But if you really think about it, you see those red flags prior to the incident that set you to the point you are now.
Mm-hmm.
We never heed the warnings. We never heed the things that are brought up to us to say, we should have done this. You know,
mm-hmm.
opportunity, you know, does not, but we don't always open the door.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we
because we're stuck behind that door with our own little idiosyncrasy.
Yeah, and we hold ourselves back. Fear, number one,
mm-hmm.
prevents you from doing a lot. And I can only speak about me. I can't speak about everyone else. But that was one of my biggest things, going off to college, fear. Like, I'm afraid of my own success. Does that make sense?
Yes.
But I am. I'm afraid of my own success because in my mind I keep thinking, am I good enough? All the time, anything I do,
mm-hmm.
is that good enough? when I sing at church, does that sound good enough? I don't think my voice is good enough. I don't think, you know, my work with the bank is good enough. I don't think, every time I'm judging myself, my clothes aren't good enough. The way I wear my hair is not good enough. Everything in my mind, to me, is never good enough.
Mm-hmm.
I'm my own worst critic. But I have to think about it at the end of the day and go at war with myself because I'm in the flesh. I'm not governed by the Holy Ghost, so I'll be the first to admit. So the devil can take that little weakness he's seen and magnify it 10,000,000%, which helps us also, again, miss out on the things that we should have done.
Exactly, because we're spending
older,
time.
I'm spinning my wheels about something that's really not necessary.
Not necessary.
Missing the end result that we're really trying to accomplish, which is why I'm sitting here now with a bunch of what should have been.
Yeah. Now, I agree, and go ahead.
Okay. I just wanted to comment and say I like what you all are saying because I think there are a lot of us who get to that point where we think, do I measure up? But I'm looking at myself. I know I've made tons of mistakes, but I didn't miss. I went at every opportunity that presented itself in front of me, and even though it didn't work out, I'm glad that I took advantage because where I grew up at, back home in East Texas, most of the men that I grew up around, when they wanted to earn a decent living, they all headed to the plant, to the steel factory.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I was headed. I got involved in metal trades in school and learned a little bit about structures and pipes and textures. And so that's I thought, hey, I want to go work at the Lone Star Steel plant.
Mm-hmm.
An aunt met some of my classmates, some people who I grew up with, and they asked her about me. Hey, how's Dwight? Has he thought about college? Tell him I'm at so-and-so, and I'm really enjoying it. I think he would be a great candidate. And my aunt came and talked to me and said, son, have you thought about college? And she told me about the two people, and she said, you know, that's an opportunity. And I decided to go and investigate, and I got involved, and it was the best thing that ever happened to me.
Mm-hmm.
Because at first, yeah, it was a little rough being in college and having responsibility, and then sometimes trying to work and earn your way through. But the experiences dealing with people and meeting people and learning how to survive and all those things, I think, helped me.
Mm-hmm.
And then as I got into the corporate structure and I worked and I moved from different places, I look at now, I really have no regrets because I'm happier now in my life than any other time I've ever been because I found myself in corporate America.
Mm-hmm.
I happened to discover that I'm where I need to be.
Mm-hmm.
And the good part about it is that I've met a lot of great people and the things that have happened. Okay, now, for instance, I don't think had I not ventured out, I may not have even met the great, the awesome, the beautiful Lois Fuller and to be a part of this network
mm-hmm.
and to do some things with you and a lot of other successful business people and millionaires and entrepreneurs. Being Mr. Motivator is the best thing that ever happened to me
mm-hmm.
to discover something that's inside of me and to know that it was there all the time, but had I not ventured out, I might not be doing it. Now, are there places where I want to go now, I'm not fully satisfied? Oh, yes, there are still other goals and things that I have
mm-hmm.
that I've set for myself, but looking back, I am excited to be where I am, and I wake up every day expecting something new, something good to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So again, it's an honor to have you for a friend,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of the other great people that I've been blessed to meet and to do things with. So I wouldn't trade where I am right now for anything, even though I've made a lot of mistakes in life.
You know, I can totally agree with what you and Shannon has said.
Mm-hmm.
And I can I can identify with both of you, because if you look at, I think about where I am and the things that I believe that have caused me some forms of regret, and I think we are attacked at a very young age, and we are attacked, which is to take us out of what we're supposed to do.
Yes.
If you have a great calling, a great expectation from God.
Yes.
I believe that at a young age, you are attacked to take your confidence away so that you won't walk in places that you're supposed to walk
in.
Yes,
you won't fulfill.
Now, I'm going to say this, and I know you guys might laugh. It's something so very simple that happened to me when I was little, young. But it carried me on through the first part of my adulthood, which took away my confidence.
Mm-hmm.
I can remember I was a very skinny little girl.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that I had some of the ugliest legs in the whole wide world. I didn't want anybody to, I never wanted to draw attention to my legs. Because I thought they were so skinny and so ugly. This is what how I felt about myself.
Yeah.
And when I was a certain young girl, you know, just junior high school, I never would wear a straight skirt. Because I just thought I was built too bad. And if I would happen to wear a straight skirt to school, I would keep my coat on all day. That's just how insecure I was.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I did not know until after I was out of high school, had gone to some years of college, was at work, and was married on my first husband, did I realize that what I thought was so unappealing was my best asset. And some of the people that I went to school with would tell me, you know, you see them, you've grown up, hey, how are you? Oh, you know, what have you been doing since you've been out of school? Blah, 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 blah. And I had some men and women tell me, girl, you still got those pretty legs. You have always had beautiful legs. You have always. And now that was news to me. I didn't realize that people felt that way. I'm in my 20s. Well, when I was 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, I was just so ashamed of my legs. I thought they were just horrible. Now, that may be something little to people that's listening, but that actually set the bar for me as far as my being insecure and not confident in myself. And that's how we're robbed. We're so robbed. And we allow ourselves to be robbed, which is why we can't complete bucket lists. We can't complete our dreams. We feel like we have to give up. And I just, you know, in relationships, every relationship I've ever had, it was ruined by somebody else. I was laughing talking to my girlfriend the other day. Every time I had a boyfriend, nobody wanted him until I wanted him. And then when I got with him, everybody wanted him. And so they, you know, he ended up sneaking around behind my back with this girl. And, you know, and that has been all through my life. And I said, what is wrong with me? Why is it that nobody wants a man until he's with me? And then when he's with me, by Jove, every woman, oh, he is so cute. I think I want him. Well, why didn't you want him before I got with him? You know what I'm saying? So all of these things work in the work together to take away our confidence, to take away our confidence. and to make us lose out. And this is why we have these, what we're talking about to now, youthful decisions, but old consequences. See, these consequences are still old. Now, and if we don't learn how to overcome them, and which they can't be overcome, because God tells us we're what? More than conquerors. So we're more than conquerors in everything that we do. So we have to know these things so that we will know that we don't have to stay where we are. We can accomplish the things that we want to accomplish.
I agree with you, Lois. You know, sometimes I think we don't realize what we have that's special. And the fact that even though you looked at, it seemed that every young lady around you, they got interested in this guy that they didn't notice before. But see, but what I think, because of your self-esteem, you wasn't looking at the fact that everybody, they really admired you more than what than what you knew. And because you projected that aura about yourself, and because you were that person that a lot of the girls looked up to, you may not realize it. And really, it was a compliment that they want, because they knew that you was a person of character. And all of that went into fruition. But like you say, there are people out there to knock us, to try to say some bad things to make us feel bad about ourselves. And at the same time, that's where our greatest asset lies, is the fact that, wow, you got this special charisma about yourself that lights up a room.
You know, I agree with you. Let me say this.
Yes,
I had a girlfriend that we were tight.
Yes.
I mean, we were tight. We went everywhere together.
Mm-hmm.
But I started noticing, if a guy walked into the club and I said, "Oh, my God, he is so cute." She was going to go talk to him, and not only talk to him, she would go sleep with him, because she knew that I wasn't going to, you know, fool with him after she talked. And she used to do that all the time. And finally I said, this girl is not my friend. Not that I was remotely interested in the guy, but if I just said a guy was cute, oh, my God, she was going to be on that like white on rice.
And then some people, too, because not just you, there are people sometimes that are attracted to us, they have low self-esteem.
Yes.
And they want your friendship, but what they're doing, they're trying to compete against you, because they don't understand that they need to compete with themselves to be the best that they can be. They measure their success based off of what you do. Wow, if I can beat Lois doing this, if I can beat Lois to this guy, if I can do better in this class than Lois, you know, as far as I'm concerned, I've accomplished the world. I've defeated my dragon. And unfortunately, there are too many people that measure their success based on someone that's close to them, or someone that they have chosen to compete with, instead of looking at their lives in a larger perspective and said, hey, this is what I want to do. I want to be better at this. I want to compete against myself. You will never make it as long as you keep trying to power up and measure your success based off of somebody else.
But you know why that is, don't you?
No, go ahead.
Because they're uncomfortable with themselves. For example, when I say I'm my own worst critic, we all are. We don't even see the potential in ourselves that everyone else can see.
Yes.
And when other people see the potential in you, their idiosyncrasies come out, or their, you know, how they feel about themselves, their deep down insecurities, the things that we don't want to admit to ourselves about ourselves, causes things like jealousy.
Yes.
Or a way to undercut that person, because, and it's not that you can help it. You're probably even aware you're doing it most of the time. But it's because we feel so inadequate. For example, I'm facing a situation right now with a lady at work. She don't even know. But I know that lady does not like me. I've spoken to her on several occasions. She just looks at me and frowns up. I kept speaking to her. So finally one day, I'm not going to speak to her anymore. Then something let me know She doesn't like, I'm a social butterfly. I really don't meet any strangers. I can talk to anybody, no matter what race, color, or creed. It does not matter.
Yeah.
I will hold a conversation.
Uh-huh.
I'm a talker. That's just in me.
Yeah.
So instead of her, it's a problem for her because she's not a talker. And deep down, she wants to be.
She envies you for this.
So she feels like, oh, she gets on my nerves. Why is it getting on your nerves? Because I'm not talking to you.
Right.
So why is it bothering your nerves?
Yeah.
I'm talking to someone else. Or if I'm in the hallway, someone says, hi, Shannon, hi. You know, hi.
You're right. Why should it be a problem?
It shouldn't be a problem because if you want people to speak to you, get that frown off your face and make yourself approachable. But it's whatever's in her preventing her from putting her self, holding herself back. She holds herself back.
Yeah.
It's not because of me, but she manifested. Like we all do, we manifest in a way that it's something that somebody else thought, something somebody else did, versus us saying, you know what, get to the root cause of it. Look within yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I used to be the one to find a problem with everybody, basically.
Uh-huh.
Like I can tell you what I don't like about somebody from the beginning. But I had to form that, let the Lord mold it, because if he didn't, I would not be surrounded by anybody.
Yes.
And so I had to look past certain things, give the Lord to show me, I'm showing you these things, Shannon, as a warning for you.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll know how to handle that person. That doesn't mean shove them at your face permanently.
Right.
That means you know what not to do with that person or around that person or tell that person.
Uh-huh.
That's for your own benefit. But we spend so much of our time worried about the wrong thing instead of focusing on ourselves.
Yeah.
You know, get a mirror, look in there and say, what do I need to do to improve me?
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, you worrying about somebody else improving or changing or whatever the case may be, it's not going to help you. You have to still live with yourself. You have to sleep with yourself at night. You have to wake up to yourself in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you have to, and ultimately, in essence, you have to fix yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You can't say, I want this person to change. I want this. You have to do it yourself.
Because when you change you on the inside, everything else changes around you.
Mm-hmm.
Because you project what your change is.
Yes.
You're the one that's ultimately the captain of your ship.
Yes.
If you have to change what's going on inside your life, and then everybody that will approach you will fall in line with what you do.
Oh, I agree with that. I think Shannon couldn't have said that more beautifully. And it reminds me, it goes back to the story in the Bible about Isaac when he was digging the wells. And even though there were people around him that were starving, didn't have any water, and there they were close to dying, and this man would dig well, and they got upset because they got jealous of him, you know, digging that well. But the well with the water kept them from dying.
Mm-hmm.
So they'd have to go and stop that well up, and he'd go and move to another one. But now, and so that makes me think about asking you and the people that are with us tonight who are listening, ask yourself this question.
Mm-hmm.
Are you a well digger? Are you the person that looks for opportunities and you want to enjoy life?
Mm-hmm.
Or are you like the Philistines? Are you a professional fault finder? You look for fault and you sabotage your own self.
Yeah.
You're on a mission to self-destruct.
Mm-hmm.
I think there are too many people who are on a mission to self-destruct,
mm-hmm.
and you heard that old expression, you cut off your finger to spite yourself.
Mm-hmm. Cut off your nose to spite your face.
Yeah, thank you. Cut off your nose to spite your face.
Mm-hmm.
They are ruining their lives. They're running away good friends because they are on a mission of to find fault.
Mm-hmm.
This is the young lady that Shannon talked about. Shannon could be the greatest encourager, the greatest friend to her, but because she is a professional fault finder,
mm-hmm.
she's looking for a reason to hate Shannon and other people so that she can try to charge them. She wants to go after them. She wants to be, you know, there are people that like that. They are vindictive,
mm-hmm.
because everybody that I don't like, I'm going to do something to mess her up.
Yeah, you know, you're absolutely right. And women, females.
Yes.
Oh, we are just ruined with that.
Mm.
We women will, if you see another lady that looks nice,
yes,
we're not going to tell her she looks nice. But you know something? I thank God for who I am inside.
Yes.
I'm not intimidated by anyone.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not jealous or envious of anyone.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I love shoes. I mean, I love shoes. You just, if you want to get me, show me some shoes. Now, if I see a lady, I don't care where she is. Her feet look good in some shoes, I'm going to tell her. You know, I'm going to say, sister, you are rocking them shoes, girl. And, you know, I don't have a problem with that. But a lot of people, they not that pretty. They not this.
Yeah.
You know, because you don't want to give another person a compliment because there's something wrong with you.
Yeah.
And I'm not that way. I'll do a guy like that. A young man, I saw a young man the other day, and though I'm only 25, this was a kid. But I told him, I said, you look absolutely good. I said, that your pet, because you know what? For once, I saw a young man dressed for success.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. His pants were not sagging. He didn't have on tennis shoes. He didn't have on beat-up shoes. The young man looked good. And he might have been 20, 21 or something like that, but he looked so good. And if we would spend our time encouraging people,
mm-hmm,
rather than cutting people down, we could fulfill our bucket list, help them fulfill their bucket list. Because in reality, the only thing that holds us back, as Shannon said, is ourselves.
You're right. There are a lot of people that could win friends if they learn how to pay a small compliment.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what it does to someone when you give them a small compliment? It's honest. If we can learn to give compliments, learn to say please,
mm-hmm,
and learn to say thank you more often. Do you know that would change your whole environment?
Yes.
But it's hard, it's difficult for you to do that if you don't like yourself, and therefore you don't like anybody else, and I got to find something wrong with him or her.
Mm-hmm. To make me feel good about myself.
To make me feel good about, and guess what? Well, lack begets lack.
Mm-hmm.
When your attitude is bad, you attract people that have a bad attitude.
I was in the store this morning, and I was in a Walmart store.
Yes.
I must be.
And there were two lines open,
mm-hmm,
that could take over 20 items.
Yes.
Only two.
Yes.
And there were about six people in each one of those lines, baskets filled up to the top.
Mm-hmm.
And the ladies in the 20 items or less were just sitting there twiddling their thumbs. The manager was walking. So I left. I had about 30 items. I left my basket. I walked over to the manager, and I said, ma'am, I know you probably get complaints all the time. I said, but look at your line and tell me if you see something wrong with this picture. I just got here. I don't know who's working and who. I said, yes, you do. You can see what I see. You got two people working, registering, the rest of them standing up. I said, I tell you what I'm going to do. I said, I'm not getting in that line where those ladies, I mean, it was, they had baskets overflowing.
Yeah.
I said, see that item, that line over there for 20 items or less, I'm going to get in that line.
Uh-huh.
I said, I have about 30 items. I said, but I refuse to stand in line behind those 10 people right there.
Yeah.
I said, I'll be all morning. Oh, yeah, go ahead. Now, you're a manager, and you tell me you just got to work so you don't know who's working. And I counted about six workers just walking up and down the front.
Wow.
You know, some with a biscuit in their hand and some. You've got to do better than this.
Yes.
You know, so when you talk about youthful decisions and old consequences,
mm-hmm,
you have to want to be a well-rounded person.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. You got to want to be well-rounded. And I know I'm criticized a lot because people tell me, Girl, you too happy. I am. I'm not going to sit up and be miserable anymore. I don't care what's going on around me. I'm not going to be miserable. I'm going to be happy. I'm going to laugh. I'm going to talk. I'm going to give people compliments. I'm going to do what I'm supposed to be doing when I'm supposed to be doing it. And then that way, I can feel good about myself and move on to my next level, because I made up my mind, I'm not going to regret anymore losing. I'm not going to lose anything else. I'm going to win. That's what I've been telling myself every morning when I wake up. I'm going to win. I'm going to win at everything I put my hands to from this time forward. I'm not going to lose anything else. And I've just made up in my mind, and I know when I say that, that adversary is out there looking, but I depend on the one that's greater than that adversary. I depend on my Lord Jesus Christ. You got my back, brother, because I'm declaring I am going to win. I will meet every challenge that I've ever wanted to meet from this time forward.
Well, you know, Lawrence, that takes me back to when we first met a few years ago. And it seems like a few years ago. I know we've been knowing each other over 13 years now.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember meeting you at the mortgage bank.
Mm-hmm.
And the first time when you walked out that door and I was headed inside, And we bumped into each other, and man, you had a smile that was this big, and you looked like $1 million. And I said, wow, I want to meet that lady, because you were so positive in the energy. And when I started working with you at that same firm,
mm-hmm.
we became the best of friends, because you lit the place up. Your attitude,
mm-hmm.
I mean, there was no problem that intimidated you. We're going to find a way to look at this, and we'll get it straight. That, I knew then, I said, hey, this is the lady I want to be friends with. And I think looking at your producer, our producer, Mr. Cook, I admire that young man, because he is always positive. He works on helps us to work with us to produce our shows and others, and he does. He has a lot of other responsibilities. He has a family,
mm-hmm.
but I can't recall a time ever meeting our producer, Mr. Cook, and him having a bad attitude. He's always been positive,
and he's always been there when I ask him questions or
problems.
I can shoot him a message and say, look. It rained on my parade today. What do I do about it?
Yeah.
You know, and he'll shoot that answer right back.
Yes. Now, and those are the kind of people that I want to be around. Someone that's not afraid to tackle a challenge. They understand commitment. And Mr. Cook, he's not one of these type of guys that he wants to chit-chat and bring in gossip. He's always being progressive. He looks ahead down the road, and he's always trying to make things better. These are the kinds of people that I like to surround myself with.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Cook, you're my favorite. You're always my favorite, because this your attitude. I believe when you come in, when you get up in the morning, you wake up with a smile.
I have to, because if you don't, you set the stage for your day.
Yes.
If you don't, I try to make it a habit to wake up in a good mood.
Mm-hmm.
I have to, because I promise you, if you don't, you will have a bad time all day.
Yes.
And you think about the things you haven't accomplished, you will not accomplish anything in a bad mood.
I agree. I think that we make better decisions when we're in a pleasant mood, more so than when we're in a terrible mood and we have a bad attitude. We make decisions, I don't care. Oh, well. And
mm-hmm.
sometimes we end up regretting when we make those kinds
of course
decisions.
We do. That's those old consequences.
Yes.
You wonder, see, if I had just said something differently last week, if I had done something differently, you know, things would be different. And I find myself now, I won't share with you guys the details, but there are some there's something that I'm going through right now that I'm correcting from a bad decision that I made, and it affects me and only me, but I'm determined that I'm going to reconstruct that thing, and I'm going to be a winner in every aspect. So this is what we're going to do, and that's going to be it. We have 5 minutes. Come on, Louise. You want to say something?
Yes, in response to all that which you said, I think when you start in your young days, going up making good decisions, you won't have to go back and regret it later on. So what you have to think about before you jump up and do stuff, you got to consider the cost and what it's going to impact, how it's going to impact your life.
Right. Mr. Courtney, I know you haven't said anything all evening. We've got approximately 4 minutes. Just give us a little cap on youthful decisions and old consequences. Give us just a minute and a half on that.
One of the things that we do in our youth that we think that is cool, or things like that. Take, for instance, tattoos. You know, we think it's cool to get them on our face, on our hands, and things like that. We don't stop to realize that not a lot of jobs you can work with tattoos on your hands and your face and things like that. And then that you go on to regret it when you're older, because if you do something like that, you most likely need to have your own business. And then where we get into is finance.
Mm-hmm.
In younger years, we get credit cards and stuff like that, and then we don't care about credit. And then when we get older, married or whatever like that, then it comes back to bite us. When we can't get the house that we want or the car that we want, or it costs too much.
Mm-hmm.
So having that youthful mindset and that carefree attitude, it hurts in the end because the consequences are great. You'll be older and not be able to retire when you want to because of the decisions that you made 30 years ago, 40 years ago, all because one decision make you where you can't retire.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And make you where you can't do anything. And we'll put it on the system, but in essence, our lack of as older is because of what we did when we were younger. So that's why we have to teach our younger generation credit, saving money, know how to spend money, know what to invest in. And when I say invest, know to get property, get things that's not going to depreciate, you know, not cars. You know, a car should be A and B. But we don't have to get a Mercedes because we can't afford it. Things like this will go towards you being a successful older adult in your life, and you won't have to have so many pitfalls. You won't hit so many pitfalls. So that's my take on young decisions and old consequences, because what happens now does affect our future. It alters it. So that we must make good decisions now,
mm-hmm.
so that we can set ourselves up, our children and our children's children up for later.
Okay.
Well,
all right. Very well said, Mr. Courtney. Mark, we have 1 minute left. I want to thank all of you for being, here on the show. I enjoy you guys, and I know you enjoy me.
Oh,
that's
yes.
why you come
Absolutely.
Every week. anyway. Thank you all for coming in and tuning in. I want to thank all of you that listened in and ask you if you want to listen to the show later or look at anything inspirational, go to www.loyce.blogspot.com. Send me an email to letstalktruth333@yahoo.com. Send me an email. Tell me how gorgeous I am. Tell me how you want to be. anything you want to say that's positive, or you can send it negative. I'm going to love you anyway. But thank you for being here and for everything that's going on. And listen, we're going to be here next week, the same time, at 7:30 p.m., Let's Talk Truth. And as your host, Lois Bullock, I'm going to say thank you, and I am loving you with the heart of God. Good night.